And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. First of all, can I be heard in the back of the chapel? To begin with, this Wednesday then will be the last meeting we'll have for several weeks. This coming Wednesday I will be all week in Plainville, New Jersey, for the Contemplative Missionaries of Charity. Then the following week, I'll be in Rome, and consequently, I'm due back on Monday at the beginning of the month of July, and whatever the first Wednesday in July is, that then will be our next class, which I think is 3 weeks. What is it? Of July. So the first Wednesday in the month of July is our next class. You know what I'm doing is trying to combine, and I think it's even cooler how Lord rewards us. All I can tell you is anytime I can speak before the Blessed Sacrament, I either find the choice or I make the choice. Our most important teacher, believe me, he is no mere human being. It's our Lord himself. So number one, our next class, which means the next position of the Blessed Sacrament, and always concluding with Mass, will be on the first Wednesday of July. And if there's any worry about not having Mass or changing the Blessed Sacrament between, say, today and that first Wednesday in July, there is no problem. We normally tell priests, whenever possible, to change the Blessed Sacrament, when possible, every 2 weeks. But a month, even 6 weeks, is not too long. However, if someone else, a priest, can offer Mass between now and our plan for the Mass in July, by all means. But if there's no Mass offered between now and that first Wednesday in July, no problem. Also, you should have been receiving, or have you received, any Xeroxed notes beyond what you had received at the beginning of class. Have you? In any case, this is my plan from now on and for some time to come. I plan to begin this evening what I'm calling strange title, A Catechism of Scholastic Philosophy. Oh no, not even A Catechism of Scholastic Philosophy. Yes, even that. And what I have done is Xeroxed. There are 7 pages for the opening class, and I'll do many more than 7 pages by the time I return. In any case, this then will be your, shall I say, your textbook. The sources you will receive, by all means, McCormick's book in metaphysics is well worth reading. Also, the Dictionary of Scholastic Philosophy is a very useful reference work. However, there will then be what I'm calling a Catechism of Scholastic Philosophy, and we'll begin this evening, then I thought I'd share with you, some of you may already have seen copies of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which I worked with the Commission from 1986. Typical, I didn't see a finished copy until really this morning, came in by express mail. I had worked on the Catechism, and I understand it is available now in many places. In any case, I have found out that the English translation in other countries, for example, from England, from Canada, from Ireland, the English translations are the same as the American edition. As we mentioned before, and just to state it now, this is the definitive work of the Church, not only as the conclusion, or call it the compendium of the Second Vatican Council, 803 pages. It is also a compendium of our whole Catholic faith, and as a consequence, even though the introduction of the Catechism states the Pope is directing this to the bishops of the Catholic Church, so he is. However, it is meant for everyone, and not excluding even young people. In any case, get a copy of the Catechism of the Catholic Church as soon as you can. There are hardback, which this is, and paperback editions. Just to clear the atmosphere, you may also know, since we've touched on this more than once, that the official, really official text of the Catechism will be in Latin, and that is due for publication in 1995. Once the Latin, so-called editio typica, is published, the Latin, then all other translations will have to be based on the Latin, which will mean then that even this catechism, and for that matter in other languages, they will all have to conform to the Latin official text. And one reason for both the delay and the complication is, as you know, certainly in English, because the first English translation done under the aegis of Cardinal Law of Boston was not only a bad translation, because it was all in inclusive language. In fact, had it not been in inclusive language, people might not have realized how really bad the translation was, apart from the inclusive language. The meaning of words was changed. Words were put in. Words were taken out. In any case, the official date for publication, at least in the United States, will be then June the 22nd, appropriately the feast of St. John Fisher and Thomas More. How we need John Fishers in the hierarchy and Thomas More is among the laity today, desperately. When then the Latin text is published, and I'm told by the people in Rome, it may be as late 95. In any case, in the meantime, this will be the existing English or vernacular translation. But even already, the introduction states that there is Jew, and this is the first time that I've seen this in print. There is Jew, it is now saying in print. A really official Latin text to which all translations there from then on have to conform. A number of us on the commission pleaded with Cardinal Ratzinger and through him with the Holy Father, please come up with an official Latin text. You can play with any other language. You cannot play around with Latin. What Latin says, it means. And may surprise you. But it is said, to really understand the catechism and the faith behind it, Catholics must learn their Latin. Isn't that sweet? It may be shrill sound, it's still sweet. And as we go through our course, which is on scholastic philosophy, we will make periodic, not merely aside references, but point out how, except for scholastic philosophy, we could not really teach the faith. And we might then, not now, but pass around, if you haven't seen the English translation, here's a copy. I will have then someone transcribe into typed form this manuscript, which hopefully will be published as a catechism of scholastic theology. His length I cannot predict. First, by way of introduction, the general title, not just for the manuscript, or even just for a course, but for what I believe is essential for understanding our faith. They're calling it A Catechism of Scholastic Philosophy. We begin by observing that it must seem strange to even speak of a catechism of scholastic philosophy. We commonly relate a catechism to religion. And by the way, most religions of the world do not have catechisms. They cannot, because they have no rational structure to their faith. You couldn't possibly assemble a catechism of Hinduism or of Buddhism, for that matter, even of Islam, to the Martin Luther. He broke with the church. Who remembers in what year? 15 by 1521 he already had a catechism published, a catechism. Well, he just as well he did it in 1521. because by the time he died, 30 years later, Protestantism was such an ocean of confusion, you couldn't write a catechism. Moreover, we have been taught to dissociate religion from philosophy. Is that correct? No. Of course you dissociate all the, let's call them by their right name, all the false religions from philosophy, for the best of reasons. Not only are they false, they don't even hold together. Over the years in teaching comparative religion, I might, for the sake of the catalog, put down that I was teaching Hinduism, but not really. I was teaching about Hinduism. I was teaching what various people calling themselves Hindus believed. And in Protestantism, just to have heard it at least once, not only are there no two Protestant churches in the world that agree, there are no two Protestants in the world that agree. Having taught at six of their seminaries, I know. If you people want to put some structure into your religion, you've got to learn some Catholicism. And of course, they put it down on paper. They better if you want to pass the course. As a result, a title like the present one sounds odd. There we associate instruction in Christianity with the science of human thought. To even really understand this paragraph which I've just shared with you, I'm telling you, you know an awful, awful lot. Christianity, and within Christianity, Catholic Christianity, is the only religion ever in existence that not only satisfies the human mind, but the human mind, so we believe, and we better believe it, needs an eternity to exhaust the inexhaustible infinity of God. There's so much to learn, and the foundation of our faith is in the mind. The mind. However, the combination of catechetics and philosophy is not odd at all. A catechism is supposed to get to the essentials of religious faith. That's what a catechism is all about. This is exactly what scholastic philosophy provides. In the last analysis, it is about God and the creatures he has made. And we better have a mental means, an intellectual, I use the word tool, but an intellectual means for beginning to begin to penetrate into the cosmic ocean of reality which our faith reveals to us. And we grow in our faith as we grow in our knowledge. The only problem is that so many people, especially in our country, have been exposed to so much learned academic stupidity. And I mean stupidity. A resort to a bit of, well, of English Americanism. As I've said so often, the most ignorant people are the academicians who have learned so much about everything except reality. No wonder, as I'm telling one audience after another, no wonder, and these are sound, provable figures, 90% of all the reading that the 200 plus million Americans read, 90% of all the reading that Americans do in the United States is fiction. And they need it to remain in that dream world in which so many of them have been educated. Moreover, scholastic philosophy is not just another philosophical system, like, say, Kantianism or Hegelianism. And over the years, I've taught all the major philosophies, including Kantianism, Hegelianism. No, scholastic philosophy is the philosophy of Catholic Christianity. In the course of history, scholastic philosophy has been and is the thought language of the Christian faith. People who may not even know how to spell scholastic. And I can assure you many don't. But if they're thinking and thinking correctly about their faith, they are philosophizing, and indeed, if I can coin a term, scholastically philosophizing. All of these factors more than justify writing a catechism of scholastic philosophy. The questions and answers will provide a compendium of how the human mind has reflected on the meaning of what Christians believe. I should add that religions, no matter what they are, as they strive to reach the educated classes, those whose minds have been developed, with no exception, they will create a philosophy for the religion which they profess. And this is where we in the United States, where would I begin? We in the United States so desperately need to know and another sin what he knows, that there is and has been for almost 2,000 years a philosophy which undergirds the faith that we believe in. In other words, they don't just believe. Hear it and don't forget. Faith means many things. And over the years, during my years of teaching my Jesuits, there was a 2-semester course just on faith. 3 classes a week, 15 weeks each semester. And among the dozen or standard definitions of faith, all valid definitions. Faith is the acceptance by the mind on someone else's word through the influence of the will commanding the mind to believe. Do you hear me? Faith is the acceptance of the mind, or by the mind, of what someone else tells me is true, at the command of the will. It tells the mind of the intellect to believe. And only God knows. But I feel safe in saying that for most people, that is not just a valid, it's almost a universal definition of faith. They believe whatever they believe because they want to, and not because their faith is credible, which means that what they believe, well, is rationally somehow believable. We in our faith, as we'll see as we go through this, we believe some very, very mysterious truths, but not a single truth that we believe. Even to call these truths, not a single truth we believe, though it is indeed faith by the mind, under the influence of the will, but everything we believe is not only consistent with the intellect, it is totally and completely supported by the mind. That is why, as over the years I've been telling so many students, no Catholic ever leaves the Catholic Church without sin. No one. Why not? Because there are no valid grounds for giving up one's Catholic faith. Grace is always available, and for our purpose, the mind always provides the grounds, not just for believing in the first place, but for believing with increased conviction. And the older we get chronologically, the stronger and deeper our faith should become. Well, that is a preliminary we get now into the sections. The first section is on philosophy in general. Before we go into scholastic philosophy, there is some value in looking at philosophy in general. The questions we shall ask are basic to everything else which follows. And I'll start the questions and corresponding answers. first question. What is philosophy? Answer. Literally, philosophy is the love of wisdom. The name was coined by the ancient Greeks as a combination of two words, philein, P-H-I-L-E-I-N, philein, which means to love, and Sophia, S-O-P-H-I-A, which means wisdom. So what is philosophy? In words, or literally, philosophy is the love of wisdom. Question number two. What is the Christian meaning of philosophy? It is the science by which our reason, assisted by grace, arrives at some understanding of all things. What is the Christian meaning of philosophy? It is the science by which our reason, assisted by grace, arrives at some understanding of all things. Notice, as Christians, we are to understand whatever we know, and especially understand what we believe. Over the years, I've said this so many people have been challenged so many times. I think it's worth both repeating and underlining. Given the mysteries of our faith, the Holy Trinity, the Incarnation, the Real Presence, the divine indwelling of the Holy Trinity in our souls, given these mysteries, we shall not only in this life, but even in the farthest reaches of eternity, never comprehend the mysteries of Christianity. There's one thing that philosophy should teach you, and I hope and pray you'll be able to be at this long enough, and you will be patient enough, and that after, say, a couple of months, I'll be able to count the two or three stragglers that come to class. By that time, of course, he will stop class. We'll continue this class as long as you people under God believe you need it. I know you all need it. I need it. We shall never comprehend the mysteries of our faith, but get the meaning of words. To comprehend means to fully understand. Only God comprehends the mysteries which he has revealed. But don't you dare say that because we can never comprehend our mysteries, we cannot understand them. I know I must have said this a dozen times, at least to some of you. It's worth repeating if even one of you has not heard this before. The Third Webster's International cost millions of dollars just for sheer research. Finally was published, and the editors of the Third Webster's International of the English language for the whole English-speaking world state unabashedly, it is impossible any longer to publish an English dictionary that defines the meaning of a single word. Do you hear me? there is such massive confusion among English speaking people. The best that a dictionary can do of the English language is to describe how words are used, even though the same word often will mean opposites. This may surprise you. This is the main reason why the English-speaking countries there is such a revolution, which means such a revolt against the Catholic faith, as there has never been in 2,000 years. We English-speaking people are a confused people. That's not a figure of speech. I found that out when, after teaching theology for 15 years to my Jesuits, I was ordered by superiors to start teaching in English. My biggest mortification. I found it next to impossible. I spent most of my time in class explaining the meaning of words. And these are Jesuits, chosen from those who had above average intelligence to begin with. Believe me, this is not something we're just talking about now, when you leave these hallowed precincts, to forget. We're going to share the faith with others. We better be absolutely convinced that we have the truth. But you cannot be convinced you've got the truth unless your mind is convinced, and convinced on rational grounds, for which you need, well, the means of arriving at certitude, otherwise known as sound philosophy. What good is a mind if it cannot think straight? Question number 3. By the way, I don't plan to finish even all these 7 pages. Make sure I have the time here. What time is it, by the way?
8.
Just 8 o'clock, eh? One reason that my plan then is to write out what I want to teach, and then what we don't cover in class, you will get copies of, and we'll cover just so much in class. But I repeat, you'll have to think, and I want to emphasize, unless you can think through your faith, you either go into protective custody or you will give up your faith. No option. Question number 3. Is there a sense in which every human being is a philosopher? Yes. On reaching the age of reason, every human being seeks to understand the meaning of God, of the world which surrounds him, and of his own purpose in life. To repeat, is there a sense in which every human being is a philosopher? Yes. On reaching the age of reason, every human being seeks to understand the meaning of God, the meaning of the world which surrounds him, and the meaning of his own purpose in life. Over the years, I've been in too many doctors' reception rooms with too many children asking too many questions of their mothers. Mothers going through a magazine with a child. Ma, why is this green? I listen intently. What's she going to say? we want to understand. And as we know, there are always people, oh, how many people are, to give us the explanations. That's why our universities are crowded. And I couldn't believe my ears. I had my Jesuit confrere repeat. This past Friday and Saturday, I was in Cleveland. Jesuit Province Day for the Detroit Province. Everybody had a show up. I showed up. At dinner, one of my Jesuit confreres told me about St. Ignatius High School in Cleveland. I said, by the way, what's your tuition? $5,100. You mean they pay it? Because they had a waiting list. How eager, as you mothers and fathers know, how eager children are to learn. But what a difference. What a difference on who teaches them. Question four. One of the three basic questions for which everyone is seeking an answer. I know some of you are almost boringly accustomed to this. They are the what, the why, and the how of everything in the universe. What are the three basic questions for which everyone is seeking an answer? They are the what, the why, and the how of everything in the universe. The Latin. I talk this kind of language. I want to resort to Latin. It's my mother tongue. Oh. If only we could talk in Latin. Learn some Latin soon. The quid, the quomodo. Oh, the quid, the cur, and the quomodo. Still on question four. We want to know the what or the meaning of everything. We want to know the why or the purpose of everything. We want to know the how or the way in which we are to benefit from everything. Question five. Are there different kinds of philosophies in the world? What a safe question. Are there different kinds of philosophies in the world? Yes. There are philosophies that are not only different among themselves. There are philosophies that are an open contradiction to one another. And I mean open contradiction. Number six. Why are there such variant and even contradictory philosophies? Why are there such variant and even contradictory philosophies? Answer. It is because they differ, even radically, in their first principles or presuppositions. Because they differ in their first principles, or what we may call their presuppositions. Thus, a philosophy like Hegelian or Hegelianism